going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Lion's Den. Yo, bruh, it's been a minute. It seemed like, right? What's going on with it? What's going on? Yeah, you better not say nothing while you muted. I was about to say. What's up, homie?
Man, everything is good, bro. How's everything going in your neck of the woods?
Man, busy, bro. Like, it, you know, like we always do around this time. Don't nothing stop. You know what I mean? Going around, you know, helping individuals, doing what we can do, man. And just trying to change the world one person at a time. You know what I mean? But man, good thing is, I think that we're in the space where we're actually looking for another lion or lioness up in the den. What you think about that?
Yeah, man, I think it's time, man. I think it's time that we bring some new energy into the fold, you know, and I know that you sent out the link to our pages. So if anybody's interested, go ahead, fill it out, hit us up, you know, hit me up in my messages and whatnot, and let's talk.
Yeah. Hey, so look, before we go too deep into the show, man, for those of you that don't know, right, or what we do, we focus on leadership, growth, and development from in the household to out in the community. And we do that with action. All right. Outside of just talking about it, but we're seriously about it. Right. So when you don't see us on, understand we're doing good work. So, Herm, what would you say would be some of the attributes that individuals should be able to bring to this to the Lion's Den if they're considering being within this within the family?
The best ability is availability. Mm. You know what I mean, you got to make sure. Hey, understand that this is a commitment. You know what I mean? We're not just doing it on Sunday. And, you know, we talk throughout the week regularly about how we can better ourselves and better the show. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not just we just hop up on here and just start doing stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and then also there's going to come a time that we're helping out an organization. You know what I mean? We're supporting this person. You got to be with that kind of stuff as well.
That's right. That's right. So essentially, y'all, our background obviously is in, well, I'm not going to say obviously because everybody don't know, right? But we come from a background of military, right? Retired military individual. So that comes with a servitude, a heart to serve, and to a heart to serve others, not necessarily ourselves. So that's a part of that, right? So if you say you're interested and you just say, boom, hey, I'm interested, I want to learn more, but we would give you that link. But trust me, it's good work. It's fun work, but it's still work. Right. Yes.
And additionally, I also have my own separate background of being an RN. You know what I mean? So add that into the mix of why we do what we do. You know what I mean? So.
Nope, that ain't it. That ain't it. That ain't it. But it is it in a way, but that ain't we ain't gonna do that. But ladies and gentlemen, what we gonna talk about today, though, I am very excited. We're talking about marital problems and solutions. And of course, we're going to solve all the problems on today within an hour. Trust me, I guarantee you. But no, that's not it. The thing is being in a relationship, being married, you know, is understanding that you are coexisting, you're lifing it with someone else, right? To have made a commitment to say, hey, I see you, you see me, let's do this life thing together, right? I love you for who you are, where you are. However, what type of problems come along with that? And are you able and willing to find solutions to that? Now, Herm, how hard do you think it is for individuals to find or to see their own faults in whatever situation or problem that they have within their relationship?
Man, see, and that's the thing, man. I try to find my own fault, but normally I'm not at fault.
See there?
And that's the thing.
See,
I'm trying to help her. No, no. I'm trying to help her see her fault. You know what I mean? And so that's what I'm hoping, you know what I'm saying, our guests can come on here and help me, you know what I'm saying, help me help her.
Help you to help her.
Well, I'm never at fault, though. That's the thing.
That's true, I guess.
Know, if I'm not at fault,
see,
I can't just make myself at fault.
You know
what I mean?
You can't.
I'd be looking foolish if I'm just trying to make myself in
a damn problem. Fool. That ain't it. Come especially on, if you ain't the problem, right?
And so let her come on. I need her to come on here, my perspective, how I'm seeing things, and let me know how I can help my wife get to where she needs to be.
So We ain't gonna do it. We ain't doing it, ladies and gentlemen. But what we are gonna do is we're gonna introduce our guest. All right, Miss Shannon Battle. Y'all, listen, she has a background that's so extensive. It's just outstanding. Okay, she's the acclaimed as the I Can Lady, a force of faith, courage, and vision. Her impact reverberates across a diverse audience, right? From empowering youth to influencing business leaders globally with the resounding message of I Can, right? As she founded in her best-selling book, The Power of I Can. Her entrepreneurial journey steering from transformation of family services of America and pioneering ventures in construction, online training, and fashion. Okay, so it's just she has a long, long laundry list of experience. But the most important thing, what she does is she helps individuals to learn how to navigate through this marriage, ebbs and flows, right, of connecting and growing. And with her being married for a very long time, but I believe over 20 years, right, and 5 children, she brings a level of experience, right? So ladies and gentlemen, y'all give a nice round of applause for Miss Shannon Battle. Yes. How you doing, ma'am? It's 20 years, right?
I'm doing well. 30.
30. Look at that. 30 years. Wow. Hold on. Wait, let me do that again. Damn. 0-0 walk in the park. How are you doing, ma'am? So tell us a little bit about yourself with your own mouth and your lips.
Yeah, you know, that's the Googled version of what, you know, you introduced. And I thank you, Seth, for inviting me on your show. First of all, thank you, Herm. And I'm going to address what you said about helping you to help your wife, even though you didn't say help you, but you said, you know, help the wife. But no, I have a heart for helping people. I have a heart for seeing people heal. I have a heart for helping people to see their blind spots that prevent them from being their best versions of who they were created to be. And I've been very gifted at identifying those factors very quickly with people. And even though I take a very honest approach, and I'm a very strong person in character, I'm very gentle when it comes to helping people to identify and navigate through these challenges, because anytime that you are dealing with a blind spot is typically associated with maybe past hurts, wounds. And so I just help people to find better ways to acknowledge those things so they can find better ways and then live the life that they were designed to have. So yeah, I just show up for people. I show up for families. I am an advocate for marriage and I just love family. I believe that's the center of who God created us to be. And if we can get this right, we can change a lot of the dynamics of issues that we're having in our communities just by stabilizing the family.
Oh, my goodness. You couldn't be no more right than that, especially with that last part you said. I think that's one of the biggest issues in the community is that the family is not stable. So therefore, the children are stable. When they go out into the world, go out into school and stuff like that, they do not have the proper balance, you know, and then next thing you know, we have unruly children. So before we get into the marriage part, since you brought that up, let's stay right there for a second. Have you seen, and from your experience, have you seen what causes like kids and stuff, like how kids are affected by unstable home environment?
Yeah, so I'm a licensed clinician, so there are statistics and there's data to show that there are, when a child comes from a divorced household, there is a higher risk for them having at-risk behaviors. So at-risk in doing those things that could get them in trouble, not allow them to show up well in their schools, and even in their adulthood and in relationships. So you want to be highly considerable about your choices when you choose to get married, and then what you're doing to make the marriage work. Because when it does end in divorce, even though I do have to help people divorce the right way because they just can't reconcile, choose not to reconcile the relationship, then it still is a long-term effect on the kids, because you're altering the destiny in the course of not only your life, but their lives as well. And then you can't figure out how to navigate these new challenges and changes because, you know, you're no longer in that union, how do you think the kids are really going to be able to adapt to doing it? So it does, if you look at the burden that the kids have to carry, and then even at young ages, they got to carry this heavy burden of figuring out what life looks like now with two separate homes. That's a lot of responsibility. So when you have a lot of responsibility as men and you're stressed, you know, sometimes you don't make the right decisions as grown men who have experience. So what do you think is going to happen with the kids?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that, right? So I'm a huge proponent of being self-aware and emotional intelligence. And so I feel as though if you're not able to understand not just who you are, but where you are along your journey, it's hard to have that communication with not just your spouse, but also your children. If you're going, because if they're of age to understand, you won't be able to communicate that effectively with that. So my question for you is, what role does communication from your point of view play in resolving marital conflicts, and how can it be improved?
So if we go back to what you said about emotional intelligence, I'm still learning a lot more about that, but I have a summarized knowledge of it. When you're talking about communication skills, some people are not at age-appropriate levels to communicate properly. They don't know how to express. They don't know how to listen. They don't know how to resolve conflicts. They don't know how to manage their emotions when they're faced with a conflict. So now we're under the assumption that people know how to handle issues appropriately, and they've never been modeled the right way for one in their homes when they grew up. And then now they've been put into an adult situation because they've had kids at a young age, they've married at a young age, and they're 25 years old with yet a still 12-year-old mentality. And then you're wondering why your husband, and I'm gonna speak, you know, as a wife, your husband, when you're 35 years old in this marriage, is acting like he's 20, still playing in the playground with his friends and doing, you know, doing that juvenile stuff still, because he's still trapped there. He's still stuck there. He never developed appropriately. And then when he had to jump and become a man before he had time to fully mature, then that part of his life is still voided. It still has to be developed. And sometimes it doesn't show up until later on in the relationship. So now when we talk about, okay, why are we having struggles with communication? Well, our growth is stagnant. And so now we have to go back to figure out, how do we even begin to build the basic level communication and then help you to know how to respond emotionally? So now you can have healthy communication patterns with your wife and with your children.
Okay, so going into that, right? Say they're not married yet, right? They're considering getting married, right? What advice would you give somebody for them to understand, you know, their partner that they're choosing to spend, quote unquote, the rest of their life with? What is the biggest piece of advice you would give to that person as far as understanding that partner would be?
Ask your mama. No, I'm just playing. No, I say that.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
No, because I got a follow up with
that. Yeah. What you mean, ask your mama?
But it could be bad too.
Well, but trust, if you have a healthy relationship with your mom, it shouldn't be bad.
Right.
Because they, when you're coming to ask him for help, you know, they got to think about this thing. They got to think about, because they peep into, you know, who you are outside of the mistakes that people see. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But to your point though, not to segue too much, but to your point, if you have a healthy relationship with your mother or even your father, uh-huh, that might be one relationship. But if they never had a healthy relationship in their relationship, mm-hmm, what type of advice could I truly receive? Ooh. Because I've watched you, mama. I watched how you've dealt with my father, or I've watched how you've dealt with, you know, dealt with different relationships, or even my father. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? So how can you, because they may have my best interest in hand, based off of their limited, to your point, mm-hmm, either A, education, mm-hmm, or B, emotional intelligence, or even, mm-hmm, self-awareness, they can be giving me information that's going to just perpetuate the same thing that I've seen with them. What do you think about that?
Or even to add to that, talk about mamas.
Let me tell you.
There's some mamas out there that treat their son as their man, you know what I mean?
A whole different
like a pseudo little fake man. You know what I mean? Yeah. You see what you done did, Shannon?
See?
What you done did? You know, open some drama over here.
No, see?
But see, let me show you what you done did. You done let a lioness into the lion's
den. Let's go.
There you go.
When you do that, you know, a lioness is very strong, but she's very gentle. So I'm going to be gentle with you lions right now. So what I was saying about, you know, ask your mom, I just say that because my kids, as they're getting older, we have evolved into that type of adult relationship now. Mm-hmm. So when they're coming to me, it's no longer, oh, my baby, because my baby is now grown. And I have to be able to make sure that they know how to be accountable as a grown person to be able to stand, even when they're making bad choices. So when I say, okay, yeah, you should ask your mom. I would want my kids to ask me because I'm very honest when it comes to that. When you're wrong, you're wrong. I love you. But they come to me because they know that they can trust me to be honest. So if you're having, you know, those, you know, issues of, you know, you're just getting married. Well, you're thinking about getting married. The number one thing I would tell you to do is observe. You need to take time before you jump into it. And the thing that you want to observe is how they respond in conflict. When they are frustrated, how do they respond? That will tell you so much about that person. It will tell you if they lack emotional intelligence. It will tell you if they have anger management issues. It will tell you how they feel about they mama and they daddy. And if you have somebody that you're in relationship with that has contentions against their mom and dad, be very careful, because that means that there is some unresolved hurt and trauma that might be there that you're going to have to deal with. And we don't know how long it'll have to run its cycle before you'll experience healing and growth in the relationship. So observe how they respond.
Good point. I think that is important, right? To observe is also, I believe it's also important to have those transparent conversations with your children that are of age, that are witnessing certain things. So my question to you is, how would you communicate the being honest with your child to let them know, hey, I'm learning just like you. You get what I mean? And I'm learning me just like you, just like I'm teaching you, I'm learning as well. And there's some things that daddy or mommy have not done 100% right when we have that conversation. How would you form that that space as you see your daughter, your child growing up to be an adult and they're seeking out individuals, you know, that's a possible interest as far as, you know, hey, these are ways that you're supposed to communicate with individuals. I may not have it all together. You may have seen something that's contradictory to what I've done. However, this is the right way. How would you suggest individuals do that?
So I'll be transparent even with myself. We have 5 kids. My oldest is 28. Our oldest is 28. And I've had to, in the past few years, had to make apologies to her because I had her when I was 18 years old. And I did not exemplify the woman that I am today with versus the mother that she saw growing up. I did my best. But again, I was 18, married with a baby. And I came from a broken background. My great-grandmother was taking care of me at the time. And my parents, they had turned to addiction. My life was really jacked up. And I was doing things to cope. I was very bitter. I was very angry. And so that carried into my relationship with my husband. So she didn't see the very best of me. She saw a mom that worked hard, but she also saw a mom that fought unfair. And so I had to, years later, apologize to her. But now she tells the younger siblings, and they're 25, 21, 19, and 17, oh, y'all got it good. You know, what y'all see now, because like my kids, she thinks that they live in a bubble, the younger ones. She was like, they have no backbone, mom. You know, they're so naive about life. And that's because things were much different, because they got a different experience as I grew up and matured and had greater experience. So what I would say is if even if you don't have the answers, and you don't need to have the answers because they really need to find out those answers for themselves, mm-hmm. tell your story. And so that's what I find myself doing more of. This is what I would have done differently. This is what I would have said differently.
That's right.
This is how I would have handled this situation if I had a do-over. And so I just use my life's journey as a teaching tool for them to then start asking themselves the right questions to figure out what would be their next best step.
Well said. Well said.
So dealing with trauma in the marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody's coming through like a similar background to what you came from, right? Which has to be a lot for somebody to deal with. And a lot of times your spouse don't even know what's going on with you, really, if that person is closed off from even talking about what they have going on or what they had going on, right? How do you advise that spouse when they suspect that, hey, man, my significant other is probably dealing with something that they really don't want to address? How do you help somebody through something like that?
Very carefully, because if it's a trauma, you want to be careful how you bring up things that may be a trigger that you have to deal with. And endure even at greater extents than what you may have been experiencing. You got to remember, when you open a wound, it's infected. So you have to make sure that you have the right type of help in place before you start really having those discussions. You're going to have him discuss childhood issues that he's had, maybe abandonment issues. Maybe he had been sexually assaulted as a child. And what do you think he's supposed to do with it when he starts talking about it with you? Mm. Never dealt with it before, but you're trying to help him because you've been Googling all these things and watching these TikToks that, oh, you know, we have to help him. You know, I want to be able to help him heal and be able to talk about these things, but he's found a way to suppress them, and him or her, they found a way to suppress it for so long. When you open that baby up, oh, you better be ready for what's getting ready to erupt when it starts opening up, which is why it's very important for couples to stay in counseling. I don't care if the marriage is good. I don't care if you guys are at your best and, you know, y'all bringing in the bag and, you know, you guys are just pillars in your community. The same way you keep that car tuned up is the same way you need to keep that marriage tuned up and always be in preventative crisis prevention mode. So when the crisis does come, oh, we don't have to go figure out what to do. We have some tools in our arsenal to be able to start fighting this thing the right way and then go to our sources of support so that we can, you know, grow stronger through these challenges.
Mm. Real quick, Seth, quick, with the counseling thing, right? The marriage counseling. So personal for me, I've tried that, you know what I'm saying, marriage counseling and counseling personally. And my wife's a licensed clinician, right? But I don't know, you know what I'm saying? It seems like for me, it's just something that I just quickly shut off. And I don't, you know, I don't know, I don't ever feel like it's really effective for me. You know what I mean? Like, is there something that I need to know going into counseling? Because I always feel like a lot of times folks are just checking a box when they're talking to me, you know what I mean? Or talking to us, that they're just checking a box, a checklist of things to ask me, and then move on to the next person.
You know what? And it's crazy. I was getting ready to ask a question very similar to that, right? How important would you say the individual counseling is prior to or along with marriage counseling? Because It could be perceived, or it could be a codependency. I wouldn't say codependency, but hey, I'm gonna go through this if we go through this. But however, I'm okay by myself. Like Herm's point, like, look, I need to find out, hey, I'm good, but you need to get your stuff together, right? How do you have a healthy relationship, or how would you suggest an individual have a healthy relationship with themselves in order to have a healthy relationship with another person and not to put the cart in front of the horse? And to Herm's point, get the work out of the work. You get what I mean? Do the work that it takes to do that. You get what I mean? To, you know, that it needs to get you healed. How would you formulate that conversation?
So going with what Herm was saying, when you said that you shut off, you know, because you feel like it's just a check box. Mm-hmm. And to me, that goes to how significant does this person see me as? If a person is just going through the motions and just doing check, I've experienced that where people weren't emotionally involved. They said they were listening and they didn't. It appears they're not. You look just like all these other people who said they would be there for me, who were listening to me and didn't show up for me. So guess what? I don't need to do this anymore. So I would go and I would figure out these conversations that you're actually having with yourself that says, no, this isn't working. I'm going to shut this off even before it gets started. Why? Because it looks familiar to something. So that's a trigger. So something that they're doing is triggering something that you've experienced in your past to tell you, you know what, let me just go ahead and shut this down. And then if you've ever allowed yourself to be emotionally vulnerable in any instances in your past and someone mismanaged it because they weren't experienced to deal with it, that could have left you feeling some type of way. I don't know what it could be, but what I would suggest for someone like you, because there are many people like you, they come into session and never come back. And they, you know, the first session is, we're trying to build rapport, but we got to get to why are you even here? What are we even going to help you to do? And that goes in us following a checklist for that initial appointment and maybe the first two initial ones, because we need to get to, okay, not just the issue that you're bringing in, but, you know, what is this webbed into? What else is this connected with? And I say, if you are checking boxes and that box is important to you, keep checking the box. Don't stop, because you are at least showing up. And that speaks volume for anybody that comes to a session, whether you're feeling it or not, you're showing up. And then eventually, that's like people who come to church all the time. And you're like, well, they still out there in the streets doing all this other stuff, but they're showing up. And eventually, it's going to be so much repetition with what they're hearing. Something is going to penetrate these walls, and then they're going to be able to get their own internal revelation and then be able to say, okay, this is what I think I need. Now, with what you had said, Seth, you answered it. You know, when people are coming into, you know, when they're coming into counseling. So I think that if you are going to make the decision to come to counseling, you have to remember first what marriage is. So when you're talking about, okay, well, how do we, you know, does the person develop personally? You know, how do we even figure that out? You have to remember that the marriage didn't come with problems, the people did. And so when we're coming in to fix our marriage, we're coming to fix what we're doing to damage our relationship. And the individuals are doing things. And whether we feel like we're justified and right and that person is completely doing wrong, both of us are contributing to the impact of what's happening in the marriage. So that's why we should strongly consider getting individual counseling, especially if you have never got counseling and you have had traumatic experiences, you've had abandonment, you've been rejected, your daddy walked out, your mama walked out, you lost a significant loved one that meant so much to you, and you're angry, you lie about your anger. You can't be truthful with people how you really feel because you feel like your voice isn't being heard. If you experience anything on that level, you need to get individual counseling, because what happens is you think you can control it in this one area and block it off. But when you blockade everybody else, you know, you're also blocking yourself in by keeping people out. So you never fully grow into the full person that God has designed you to be.
See? That's it, ladies and gentlemen. So we're here with Miss Shannon Battle in the building, y'all. Wow, 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 wow. Woo! Listen, hey, this is some news that you can use. And again, ladies and gentlemen, hey, look, if y'all feeling this, please, please, please hit us up. Make sure you're giving us some, you know, comments, any questions that we want to ask her. But no, this is good. What you was about to say, Herm?
So I'm going to go into what we talked about. We were talking about before we brought her on. Mm-hmm. Couples get into it, right? Uh-huh. And it seems like one side ain't listening to the other, or both sides aren't listening to each other. Mm-hmm. When they get to arguing. Like, I was joking around when I say I feel like I'm always right.
No, he wasn't.
I really wasn't. I really wasn't, you know what I mean? But when you run into stuff like that, when somebody only they refuse to see the other side, they only see their side of the argument. Mm-hmm. You know, do you get a lot of that when people come to talk to you? And how do you advise that? Because that person might really believe, like, man, I can't believe she's always tripping over this little crap all the time. You know what I mean? Like, what's you just refuse to be happy. And she probably sees, like, this little crap is important to me. You know what I mean? Like, how do you get them to a middle ground?
A lot of work. And this is why I've changed, too, in my practice. I still have some cases where I do weekly sessions, but I do more intensives now, because when we do that hour in the week and then we have to wait a whole week and then go back, and it's just a lot. It seems like, you know, we're taking a lot of backward steps. So now I do like 3-hour intensives so we can just dive in and you guys can really start working more effectively. But when you have people that come into the relationship and they're blaming the other person, it's just because they're protecting themselves from being hurt, because you've already blamed them in the house. So when a person is constantly being told you're a problem, because that's what I'm hearing when you say that, and when you say that I'm always tripping over something small, that means, okay, I'm not significant. You're devaluing my thoughts and what's important to me. So now I have to defend myself, because now you become a threat and you're no longer safe to me. And now when we come to counseling, then I have to help illustrate what the person is saying in a way that conveys a revelation to you, because that's right. You're not hearing the way that they've been saying in the house. So I have to help you all learn to reword how you all are saying things to one another. So the conversation, for example, would be, you know, every time, you know, I come into the house, you know, she's always tripping, talking about, you know, I ain't text her right back when I was at work. And then, you know, I'm getting in the house and she's just arguing, I'm just getting off of work. When really what she's saying is, I've been very overwhelmed all day today. I haven't talked to you, had conversation with you in weeks. I want more of your time because I'm missing you. But because you've made it so, you've devalued what she was saying. Now she's angry, she's hurt, and she's turned inward, and she has to protect herself because she doesn't know how to be safe to tell you I'm missing you, because she doesn't know what you're going to do with that when she gives it to you. So then we have to help you all be able to understand the real meaning. So foundationally, my scripture is, in all you're getting, get an understanding. When we're coming to counseling, it's because we have misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. And so every...
So when she's yelling at me to pick up my socks, she's really just telling me she's missing me.
No, you know saying,
I get it. She said, "Man, can you pick up your damn socks?" I said, I know she's really saying she missed me.
Damn, that's deep. So what you saying is you just gonna keep them on the floor just so you can hear her say
she that I'm missing me.
You so scared. That's why we can't stand him. See, you see how he just take that and he made it his own. Okay, but to your point though, ma'am, I really do believe though that is it, right? Because when an individual is hurt, they're going to come, or they're going to project the communication that is not talking about the intent, it's talking about the current situation. So I'm going to use hurtful words to let you know that I'm missing you and I feel devalued, even though I just really want you to be here with me.
Because the only thing sometimes people understand, when somebody, what happens when somebody flares up and they get very aggressive and they start cursing and everything?
That's right.
We pay attention to that, right? Mm-hmm. But when someone is just being gentle and saying, honey, you know, this is going on, and yeah, we're dismissed a lot of times. You know, it doesn't seem as though that we have our husband's attention that way. So oftentimes, you know, the woman will raise up to that, but then, you know, he raises at that same level and then comes a notch higher. And then so now everybody is always, you know, trying to outdo one another, right, instead of calming it down to listen gently to one another. So what you're going to have to do to start repairing those communication struggles is you're going to have to make sure that you're curious, but you're not critical.
There you go.
Let's talk about that right quick.
Yeah. What do you mean curious and not critical?
I actually learned this because my husband and I went through some marriage mentorship ourselves. So there's no way for me to go and be a better, you know, trainer, mentor, therapist to other people if I'm not getting the help myself to make sure I'm understanding how to better train other people to be at their best. So we went through a marriage mentorship program and they taught us healthy habits and communication. And I'm a very strong, dominant person. And I, you know, I even have a therapist as well. And that's because I manage so many things and my anxiety can go out the roof and it will show up. And I, that's another issue in itself. But, you know, when I was talking to my therapist, I was like, yeah, I'm a type A personality. I have a psychologist. She was like, well, you need to learn how to be a B plus, you know, because I'm like, what does that mean? And then when I looked at it, I began to understand that we adapt to cultural norms, societal norms, especially as Black women, the SBW, I call it, the strong Black woman syndrome. And we don't know how to filter it sometimes. We don't know how to turn it down. And we make the mistake of treating our spouse like how we're being mistreated in the world. Mm. And so when you're in counseling, this is why it's so important, because you have to begin to ask yourself, am who I am showing up today, is this the best version of who I want to be to show That's up right. for my husband? So what you would do when you're having those communication issues is you're very curious. What do you mean by that? Oh, I didn't know you felt that way. Can you explain it to me more? I'm just tired of you always leaving your socks and, you know, you just not listening, you know, well, not listening, but you're just leaving the socks and you're just so inconsiderate. Well, what makes you think that I'm inconsiderate? How would you, what would you like to see me do? So now you're just asking, you're not saying, well, you hear all day, you see the socks ain't gonna hurt nobody. I'll get them later. You're, you know, disregarding what she's saying. So you're being curious, and that's a gentle effect. Then that way, as you're becoming curious, you can be kind. You can be very kind to each other. And we're not very kind when we're addressing our issues with one another and we're afraid of conflict. We have the fear that it's not going to be received appropriately. So we'll either shut down and just not deal with it and just let it continue to build until we become emotionally bankrupt. And then we're talking about divorce now, or we're just fighting all the time to no resolve because we're worried about trying to at least have a win in something because we're failing in the marriage.
Very well. Very well said. Very well said. So I want to take a step back, right, and go down the road of individuals coming from traumatic situations that they haven't quite dealt with. And as they go through the process of their maturation in love, marriage, and also having a family and being that which they need to be for their family, can you help to explain how important it is, or even the process of having a trauma bond to a healthy, loving bond within a relationship, and what attracts, you get what I mean? What attracts individuals to each other, but how can you keep or build the relationship to be healthy and not just being there because we've both come from traumatic experiences?
Well, trauma bonds, I had a trauma bond. Both of our parents, my husband and I, both of our parents were addicts. So when we dated, oh God, we knew what it was like to deal with shame, embarrassment, not having certain things, and, you know, having to do things that we never thought we would do. And, you know, it helped to build that conversation and it gave us common ground. But then we had so many other things that were exciting about each other individually that attracted us to one another as well. So we were bonded in trauma, but just because our traumas were very similar, the way we dealt with them were very different. So when you're talking about people who have trauma bonds, it's how you deal with the trauma, because a lot of times trauma doesn't show up until well into the relationship. I'm dealing with men in their 50s, early 60s that are now dealing with traumatic childhood trauma, you know, issues. So when you're saying, okay, well, how do we begin to deal with them? You deal with them as they show up. I don't believe that we have to deal with every single thing that you've been through, but we deal with the most important pressing thing that you avoid the most, the thing that bothers you. We identify one trauma. So a practice that I do that I'm credentialed in is CPTC, cognitive processing therapy. And when we're doing that, we're identifying one trauma, because when I help you with this one trauma and the skills that you learn to deal with that one, you'll be able to effectively manage any other thing that shows up. And so as we're dealing with that one thing, we're identifying, okay, what are your safety issues here? How do you see yourself? How do you see others? How do you see the world? And what are your trust issues here? What are your intimacy level issues now? Because maybe you all were real intimate before, but now as you're getting older, you're starting to recognize intimacy isn't the same anymore. I feel like I'm not even into this person. I'm not attracted to this person anymore. Why is this happening? I love this person, but now, you know, that's not even the same. So then we can start looking at, okay, well, how are you seeing yourself, first of all, you know, in showing up in this relationship with that person? What about you has changed? What are your thoughts about yourself? And then what are your thoughts about the other person? People will say, oh, because, you know, the gain weight or anything. Well, no, because now I'm starting to feel insecure about who I am as a man in this relationship, because what I provided for in our 20s and in our 30s was, well, it was sufficient. But now she's wanting more. She's growing more. And I feel like I'm inadequate to be able to meet her needs. Oh, she has this education now. Is she going to leave me like my mom left me? Now those things weren't an issue when you were early on, but now they're showing up. So now we'll start dealing with the abandonment issues that are now showing up 10, 15 years into the marriage. Mm.
Wow. Wow. What you think, Herm?
I think that's pretty interesting. You know what I'm saying? When you talk about the lifeline of a marriage or a relationship, you know, they say that you fall in and out of love with each other, you know what I'm saying, over those extended period of years, right? But I want to switch gears a little bit and get into some stuff that be popping off on social media all the time. And it always makes it seem like black men and black women are at war with each other, you know? In your experience, do you see a truth in that, or is it just social media BS? I'm talking about the, hey, you got to go 50-50, you know what I'm saying? If you want to be with me, you know, you pay half the bills, and women like, I'm
Gabrielle Union.
I ain't pay half no bill. I don't know where that came from. It's just like, I always see these dumb conversations, or Cheesecake Factory. Is that just social media hype, social media BS, or are you really seeing that stuff, you know what I'm saying, in real life between black man and black woman when it comes to counseling and in your area of expertise?
Not typically. I see it more. Okay, so now when we start looking at things, when couples come to counseling, we have to look at where you are in your relationship. We got to look at your ethnicity. We got to look at your income levels, because statistically, couples that are making around together, maybe about $200,000, they're pretty stable in their relationship. They're not likely to get a divorce. However, when you have couples that start bringing in more money, and say they get around $500,000 to $600,000 in income, and the more they make, oh, there's a big difference now in who takes care of what and how you're seeing each other with what's coming into the household. And you have a even greater likeliness of getting a divorce. So income plays a lot into that. You have to look at how many times you've been married. If you have already had a divorce, you know that your chances are for your second and third marriage that you have a greater likelihood of divorcing. So your chances go up even more significantly after your first divorce. So we have to look at how many times you've been married. Then we have to look at, okay, well, what type of home did you come from? Did you come from a single parent home? Did you come from a two parent home? What was that like growing up? So when you're saying that it seems like we're going through a checklist, that checklist is very essential, because we're able to then understand just where you are when it comes to just development, just, you know, socially, what statistically what's happening, you know, when with what you're exposed to, your career choices. if you are in careers that are related to like bartending, gaming, transportation industry, you have a greater likelihood of getting a divorce as compared with someone who is an engineer. So those things also factor into why, you know, where we're at in trying to get you the right type of help so this marriage doesn't end in divorce.
Mm. So I got a question, just speaking about that. Why would you say certain certain industries are a higher risk as far as divorce? No, I mean, seriously, because is it the industry or is it the mindset of the person? You get what I mean? Or is it that that industry brings more temptation? I'm just trying to understand, why would an industry dictate the risk value of the of a potential divorce?
I think there are a lot of factors that influence that. This information I got was from the Census Bureau, and then some of it came from like the CDFA. It just depends. But this was recorded information data that you can go look up yourself. But what I think happens is what Herm said in the very beginning when you guys were chit-chatting in your lion's den before the lioness came in, he said availability. So I think in those careers, when you look at availability, when you look at the demands of a profession and the stress level it has, by the time you get home, if you're a transportation worker, you're gone for how long? If you're in the military, you're deployed for how long? If you're working in a bartender, if you're working as a bartender, you're dealing with what type of people all night long? You know what I'm saying?
4 in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to look at availability. And then so when you're, especially as a bartender, you're listening to people's problems all night long.
That's true. Okay.
So now, you know, when you come home, what do you think that person's mindset is like when the spouse now wants to talk about problems?
Well, wow. You know what? Now I get it, right? I get it. And I had a different thought process, a different track of mind with that, but I can understand, right? And even with me and her being in the military, and I can speak for him with that is, you know, after a long day at work, right? And our days could be like past what, 12, 14 hours of work. Mm-hmm. Because as a matter of fact, you're never really off, right? You can be on call and things of that nature. So coming in with an extra amount of stress without an individual being aware to say, wait a minute, you wasn't here for X amount of time. Let me see if you're okay first, because you can be one French fry away from just going cuckoo on the whole house. You know what I mean? So I need to be aware of that. Okay. So I can understand that.
Yeah, well, you could be one bad decision away from going cuckoo on the house. So you have like women, you know, I've been through that. Like when you're just at the breaking point of something greater happen in your entrepreneurship, in your business, in your career. But the amount of time and effort that you have to put in and the stress that you're dealing with, the wife has to carry that load at home. She has to be able to explain to the kids why daddy's so snappy. She has to be able to explain to the kids why dad can't show up for the game or come to the event, or why daddy's not sitting at the dinner table because daddy is trying to make a better life for us. She has to be able to shield the household while you're out here being great. But then how is she being protected? Who is covering her? And a lot of times the women are just being uncovered, and they know that they feel like they're naked and alone, and they become afraid.
Okay, well, that's a good one. Well, here's a question. This will be one of my last ones. Can you explain to our audience and to future listeners what a safe place is and how important it is to have that within, to have that within your relationship?
A safe place starts with a healed heart. So you know when a person still has wounds because they throw things back in your face, or they're judgmental when you talk about certain things. They don't make you feel as though you're respected, especially men. Men want respect. And then that's why it's easy for them to go talk to other women outside the relationship if they're feeling disrespected at home, because they just want to be respected. That's just what they were designed to be. And then women, they feel they want to be loved. They want to be valued. They want to know that, you know, we are the apple of your eye. And so we crave your attention. We want you to notice when we got an extra love handle. You know what I'm saying? We want you to notice when there are moles popping up in places they shouldn't have been. You know, we want you to just pay attention, but we want you to be interested. Even if, you know, it's not anything that you're into, just show interest, because you have conversation about how you were talking with somebody else. And then you don't even, I'm like, why are you talking? Why are you interested in that type of conversation? You don't even like that. But then when I talk to you, you want to cut me off, or you're not really paying attention. You're watching TV, you're on the phone, or, you know, you just don't respond or engage. So I think that, you know, when we are in our marriages, we really need to be intentional about how we show up for the other person. We have got to come. I do this with my couples and they hate it. And I do it when they're like really angry at each other too. I'll be like, okay, so now let's end the session like this. Ask your spouse, how can I serve you today in a way that's going to make you feel safe and loved? Mm-hmm. And they like, because right. It takes a lot. It takes a humbleness, because you got to humble that heart. That heart is unhealed. There are wounds there. And so we begin to start practicing things that help you to just be intentional about healing. And so that's how you bring safety. You have to have a healed heart for a person to feel safe. But if you're everywhere and your heart is just bleeding out, then how will that person, your spouse knows you better than anyone else. They can see it, whether you recognize it or not. So you definitely have to work on you so that person can be safe.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something crazy about me, but it's like that word it safe.
It is.
That word safe just bothers me all the time, man. I don't know
what you mean.
Like when they say you need a safe place, and you know, I'm like, man, I don't know if anybody could really create a safe place for me. You know what I mean? I create the safe place. You know, I'm the safe one. So I don't know. Maybe it's I'm perceiving the word wrong, or I just don't know what a safe place really is.
Well, I mean, look, man, look, let's think about it, right? Because we talk about it all the time, right? I know that I can have conversations with you that I can't have with other individuals because of how you hear me, you receive me, and how you bring it back. And then my perspective changes, right? In a healthy manner, versus me talking to someone else. And instead of being an extra, you know, like a sound mind, now they're another critic. You get what I mean? And they're demoralizing me or demeaning what I'm saying. And I feel worse than I did before I even, you get what I'm saying? So
I get it,
that. But Ms. Shannon, what would you say about that? How would you articulate a safe space?
The same way you just did. So let me ask you this, Herm. Out of five friends that you have, the closest people around you, who can you name one out of the five that you would feel the most comfortable talking to about issues you're having with your wife?
Seth. Yeah.
Okay.
He'd be the one.
Now,
actually the only one of my friends that I do that with.
Okay. So think about friend two, think about friend three, and think about friend four. Mm-hmm. How safe are they for you to talk about the issues that you're having with your wife?
They would be safe too, but it's just, that door, you know, you really can't really open that to everybody. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like, you know, I talked to one person, you know what I mean? And, you know, Seth is one of my newer friends. He probably is my newest friend out of my closest friends. Right. But this is like, you know, my other friends, who I'm close with, we talk about sports. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We talk about LeBron James, the best basketball player ever. That's what we talk about. You know, Seth is the only one I really talk to about.
But you just said it. You opened the door for Seth. Yeah. When it comes to your family, the very thing that you cherish the most, the very thing that you would lay down your life for, the one thing you will lay down your life for, you opened the door for another man that you know, have a newer relationship, because you know that that relationship is safer. But yet you won't open that door with the people you've known for so many years. For whatever reasons, and I'm not saying they're not good people, but you have a revelation about who you can open certain doors to. That's called safety.
See, and I think that it's important for us to know that.
I'm not calling it my safe place.
No, don't do that. Hey, guess what? And you know, the funny part is, now I sound like we're in the marriage counseling. Right? That ain't what we're doing, right? We all the way Lions, okay? Hey, we don't identify as Lions tomorrow. But anyway, but look, the deal is that I think it's important to know that we have to compartmentalize certain relationships, because not everybody will know how to, you know, take that because mm-hmm. they haven't had the experience. You mm-hmm. get what I mean? They're only going to talk about things that we might have did in the 90s, and that's is. You know, that's their right. That's their level of awareness. And so if we're having conversations on growth and development, I need to be able to trust individuals in certain lanes. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep people right where they need to be. If it walk like a duck, quack like a duck, it's a duck.
It's a duck. Hey, Big Herm, give it to him, man. What's your word, man?
Miss Shannon Battle. Hey, I really appreciate you as a lioness. Coming on here being gentle, you know, and really breaking it down, you know, from your perspective. I really did get something out of this conversation, you know, and I really thank you for coming on and being transparent and open and being able to deliver it the way that you did. I could tell you're a true professional. Thank you for coming on, sharing your time with us and sharing your time with our audience. Appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. Yes, ma'am. And look, if you can, please, just to echo what he said, I appreciate you being on, but let individuals know what type of help you can provide and where they can find you.
You can always go to my home base, which is my website, www.shannonbattle.com. And I provide marriage rescue sessions. So like if you just need a plan, and that's what happens in a lot of relationships. You're trying to deal with something and don't have it planned properly on how you're going to deal with it. If I'm dealing with a husband that got issues with talking with other people and emotional dependency and these type of things, I need to know what his triggers are. He needs to know what his triggers are. And we got to have a plan for when he's triggered. And we got to have a support thing, you know, support system identified. So I help people develop rapid divorce-proof marriage plans. And then I also do marriage intensives. So if you feel like, okay, we are starting to have more discussions about divorce and women are more likely to file for a divorce and they're likely to do it around the age 55 to 64. So we think that, okay, well, we've been in this long enough. We just gonna make this work. Doesn't always happen that way. So I really think that if you are intentional about building a legacy to show how a healthy marriage thrives, then you might want to consider a marriage intensive with me as well.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Yes. Yo, we appreciate you. Don't go anywhere, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do here at the Lion's Den. We appreciate everything that you do as far as being here on the Lion's Den. What we try to make sure we perpetuate is the growth process. And it's not just, and like Herm knows, it's not just what we do and what we talk about, it's actually giving you the tools that you need to be a better version of yourself. Right on. And hopefully you understand that we're here for the long haul, right? The hard work. And that's exactly what it takes. What you say, Herm?
Man, I couldn't echo it any better, man.
Yeah.
Well, y'all still keep rocking with us. Comment what kind of shows you would like to see. Mm-hmm. And also if you want to be a potential host for us, click that link.
Exactly. And let us know, right? Comment, say, look, I'm interested. And you will get some more information. But until then, y'all be good to each other. Right on. Later.